Here's check on stories we're following for you today on Robinhood Radio. As first reported yesterday afternoon, a 46-year-old Kent plumbing contractor charged with sexually assaulting a minor and scheduled to appear today in Poughkeepsie, New York, in court, died yesterday. Eric Phineas found dead at a Mountain Road home he owns after local medical and fire department responders were called at 4:17 p.m. Police, who remained on the scene on Thursday, said a firearm was used and no foul play was suspected. He was moved Kent to Sherman after marrying last year, was arraigned earlier this week before a local judge in Pleasant Valley, New York, ordered held on $25,000 cash bail or $50,000 secured bond at Dutchess County Jail. The case was referred to a higher court. He was supposed to be there today. In a story in the Republican American, Brian Bartram, the representative to the Region 1 Board of Education, made a statement at this month's meeting of the North Canaan Elementary School Board of Ed before giving his report. He said in his 9 years serving on the Salisbury Central School Board of Education, there were never any comments made about his personal character, but he said he found behavior following his vote against the regionalized middle school proposal to be objectionable, saying he understood the displeasure with his vote, but he doesn't accept that bullying tactics he faced in meetings following the vote. Quoting here, civil professional dialogue is certainly appropriate, and quote. He went on to say the school's mission statement calls for demonstrating respect and responsibility. And quoting Brian here, I wish to repeat my desire to work with the North Canaan Elementary School Board in such a manner. End quote. Out of Great Barrington, a local ambulance squad has sent out a call for financial help to the communities that it serves. In a story in the Berkshire Eagle, the Select Board and Board of Finance Committee voted not to recommend that the town approve a $131,000 subsidy for Southern Berkshire Ambulance. The request will be discussed at a budget hearing on March 17th when residents will decide whether to send the matter to a vote at the annual town meeting in May. Members of the boards, the agency's director, and about nonprofit financials asked them about paltry fundraising and asked why they waited so long to deal with the shortfalls. And coming up this weekend, two-day W.E.B. Du Bois Legacy Festival begins Saturdays with events and readings to remember work that broadened that understanding of the Black experience and the threats to all true humans for freedom. It'll start in the morning with a slew of talks by Du Bois scholars, exhibits, music, and dance. It'll end Sunday night with dinner. For full program details on the web, DuBoisLegacy.com. Most Pine Plains residents agree that a new wastewater treatment system is needed to replace the town's aging septic system, believing it would provide for important business and residential opportunities. In a story by Caitlin Lyle in the Millerton News, Pine Plains town supervisor held an informal townwide meeting in the community room above the Pine Plains Library, speaking of the town's newly updated comprehensive plan, saying the large majority of residents who submitted feedback expressed an interest in generating more economic activity based on research into other municipalities with wastewater treatment facilities. She said, if we want more business, we need a better plan. At its January meeting, the town board and Amenia reviewed plans to work with New York State Electric and Gas, converting all the town's residential streetlights to LED lights. Amenia town supervisor Victoria Perotti said they received a proposal to convert to LED lights from NYSEG with the total project cost estimated at $8,000, saying the project would begin sometime in the next few months. Everybody is invited today to share a free community dinner at the Millerton Presbyterian Church tonight from 6 till 7. In addition to the meal, there will be an opportunity to shop for free household items and clothing for the family. The church is located at 58 Main Street. And the Weavertuck Teachers Association Social Justice Committee will hold its fourth annual Toys and Clothes giveaway tomorrow from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. That event will take place at the Northeast Millerton Annex located at 28 Century Boulevard. In a story out of the Millerton News in Northeast, after approving a resolution to accept the submission of the town's new sign law and move forward with the adoption process, members of the Northeast Town Board heard concerns and complaints from local residents during a public hearing on the proposed law on Thursday, February 13th. The meeting was held at the Northeast Millerton Library Annex to a full house. Northeast Town Supervisor Chris Kennan took a moment before the meeting to talk to the community about the proposed law as well as opposition it's facing, explaining the law was last amended in 2009. Among some of the major changes made to the law, Kennan said new regulations dictate that signs must be content neutral and that the town cannot discriminate against sign content. He added issues related to the sign size and location will be reviewed by the Zoning Review Committee. Meanwhile, in Millerton, the village board held a workshop meeting. Mayor Debbie Middlebrook announcing at the start of the meeting that no decisions would be made that evening about the Millerton Police Department's location in the village. And the story in the Millerton News goes on. At its previous meeting on January 21st, the board heard concerns from the owner of 52 Main about police operating out of the back of the temporary village hall space at 50 Main Street, along with the potential impact it might have on local businesses, sharing her concerns about whether the police could feasibly use the narrow alleyway to enter and exit the parking lot behind the building. Middlebrook went on to say they're trying to resolve this. The next meeting to talk about this will be scheduled for Tuesday, February 18th. Beginning Monday next week, Massachusetts voters can cast their ballots in a presidential primary, a first for the Commonwealth. Anybody can do so. No reason or justification is required. Interest seems to be high in the set of primaries on March 3rd. More than one-third of all Democratic delegates will be chosen by voters in states ranging from California and Texas, the two most heavily populated. Early voting especially is popular among older and suburban voters. The Democratic ballot in Massachusetts lists 15 candidates, all seven who've dropped out, such as Deval Patrick, Cory Booker, Julian Castro, and Andrew Yang. Voters can also choose candidates for the state Democratic committee. A federal appeals court ruled last week that Rhode Island tribe does not have a standing in regarding to the destruction of a stone ceremonial site along the pipeline spur completed in December of 2017. The Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit said that the Narragansett Indian Tribal Historic Preservation Office does not have jurisdiction to make claims via the National Historic Preservation Act against the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Anne Marie Gardy, the tribe's attorney, said she thinks the court's opinion is wrong in assuming that there is no remedy for the tribe for the destruction, though she said she can't comment on what the remedy would be. And congratulations, students at South Kent School. Their bikeathon raised over $3,600 for World Bicycle Relief. On February 15th, starting at 10, the South Kent School students held a 24-hour bikeathon to raise awareness and funds for World Bicycle Relief. The organization provides bicycles to support people in developing nations and disaster recovery. On Saturday, February 22nd, the 19th Annual Flea Market at Donahue Hall in Goshen, Connecticut will run from 8:30 till 2. Tag sales can take a break and enjoy hot dogs, chili and or soup, as well as coffee, tea, and soda. Also a bake sale. All proceeds will benefit the maintenance of their historic 1876 chapel. Ankrum Fire Company Chicken Barbecue is February 22nd from 4 to 7 at the Ankrum Firehouse. A half a chicken, potato salad, coleslaw, corn roll, and ice cream for dessert. Takeouts available. Reservations at 518-329-3430. The Hotchkiss Philharmonic Orchestra continues its first season with the second concert featuring guest conductor and soloist Daniel Geddes on February 22nd at 7 p.m. Elfers Hall at the Esther Eastman Music Center. Admission is free. Blast the winter blues and spend an afternoon traveling the globe at the Hotchkiss School's Multicultural Festival on Sunday, the 23rd, from 2 to 4. Community members of all ages invited to explore the world with Hotchkiss students who hail from more than 30 countries and will offer activities, live performances, hands-on workshops, and more. It takes place at the Hotchkiss School main building, 11 Interlaken Road in Lakeville. More information at hotchkiss.org. Family Costume Skate Party is happening on Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Schmidt Rink at Hotchkiss School. Bring your skates and best costume. Prizes will be awarded for the best individual and group, family, and youth. Youth 12 and under, $100 prize. Group of family, two or more, $200. Individual 13 and over, $100. It's being sponsored by the Northwest Corner Prevention Network. The 39th Annual Student Open Recital is happening on Sunday, February 23rd at 3 p.m. with lots of different performers. Chorus Angelicus, Angels in Training, Berkshire Children's Chorus Junior Choir also, the Salisbury School Classical Ensemble, the Salisbury School Jazz Ensemble as well, and additionally, Ellie Womath, Trevor Hampton, Andy Zhang, Mason O'Neill, Claire Jin, Lucia Montrose, Feacox, Daisy Wang, and T-Wood Kim. It's at the Salisbury Congregational Meeting House. It starts at 3 p.m. It's free and open to the public. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 128.05 to 29,219.98 yesterday. The NASDAQ wound up the day at 9,750.96 and the S&P 500 at 3,373.23. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.